You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
.07 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We are on 1030 The Voice, KVOI.com. If you miss anything, KVOI.com. If you want to find out more about my foolishness, DSimoneHQ.com. If you want to find out about Matt Neely, geocities./myspace.kajagoogoo.
I'm still working on that vanity URL.
His GeoCities still has some of the best views. For some reason, he has a lot from Croatia. He has a lot of Croatians on his MySpace page. Don't know what's going on with that, but...
Basketball scout.
We'll get to Jasmine in just a couple of seconds here. Remember, on Saturday, we're going to honor Korean War vet Paul Marsh, the heart and soul behind the Marana Veterans Cemetery on Luckett Road. Please join us at 8:30, 8:45, and we want to set up a
9:30, 9:45. Three, sir.
Exactly the holy hand grenade of Antioch moment. Thank you, sir. 9:30 to 9:45, and we'll be at little ceremony at the top of the hour and show some love and appreciation for this man, and then I'll have you out by 10:30, and then we have our live remote broadcast coming up on our breakfast with Gap Ministries. Power Hour, 15th anniversary celebration, Higgins, Neely, Alexander, the whole kit and caboodle, as we like to say. And got to go to wakeup.gapmin.com to get your tickets. Put in 1030 on your discount code. $20 gets you the best buffet breakfast you will eat since last time we did this, basically. And support what's going on with the great work that Gap Ministries does, and have a great time with other Wakeys and all that jazz. Matt, you know what we're going to do on Monday for the actual anniversary show?
What, sir?
Greatest hits. So I'm going to go through the YouTube page of some of the greatest hits.
Okay.
Now, the one thing, your homework assignment is, I need you to find us hanging up on Carrie Lake. And we'll play that.
Well, I think she might have hung up anyway. It was an interesting interview.
This is the one where you played her off. We played her off. And
the
she
Oscar
says,
music.
She's like, what's going on? You're like, we're done with you.
We'll play it. It's sort of like that.
As David Spade once said, buh-bye. 8:09 in the morning. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jasmine Mejia from the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. That's a mouthful, as we like to say. Jasmine, good morning.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
Ah, she's got the radio voice. I can already hear
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
She could be doing some voiceovers right now. So young, but she's young, right? But she has a little maturity to it. So this is what they're looking for right now. You'd kill it on the Hallmark Network right now. I'm just telling you on the Voice. So welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We hear other cancers, all cancer sucks. That's my new hashtag. Hashtag all cancer sucks. But we hear about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and different things that we're trying to bring awareness to. Talk about colorectal cancer and what's the impact on American families. What are we seeing out there? Is it getting worse? Getting better? Give me an overview, Jasmine.
First of all, National Colorectal Cancer Awareness is this month. And unfortunately, it is one of the cancers that is on the high trend of affecting younger people and becoming very prevalent in the community overall. Some of the reasons is because, you know, as you know, the screening used to be 50, and now they have lowered that screening rate to 45 because so many young people are affected by the disease, especially within the Hispanic, Latino, and people of color. Those communities are affected even more, and we've seen it on the rise a lot more within those communities. And it is one of the, you know, most preventable cancers with timely screening. So it's a 91% survival rate if they catch it early. But the key is to be able to catch it early.
So it's interesting. I'm looking right now at some of it. So right now I'm seeing it's third in cancer deaths in men and also women behind lung and prostate. On men, and then women is lung, breast, and then colon, rectal, right after that. So, what do we? So we know about the screening side on how there's a lack of screening for such things. What's going on the diet lifestyle side that they think might be contributing to these strong amount of cases in colorectal cancer?
Honestly, they do not have enough studies yet to prove that it's diet lifestyle, because there are people that you know, that I personally know that are marathon runners that are you know, have been vegetarians all their lives, and you know, they end up with,
well, that's their problem cancer. Right there, being a vegetarian all their life. I just want to tell you that.
So. I mean, obviously, you know, we know that too much red meat is not good for cancer, you know, but no, it honestly, they are still doing a lot of research to try and hone in, especially because it's now becoming so prevalent in the younger community, whereas before it was seen as a old person's disease, and now that is no longer the case. And it's very alarming because you know, it goes silent without symptoms for a very long time. By the time you have symptoms, you're almost at stage 3, stage 4, where, you know, it's really a lot harder to battle, you know, stage 3 to stage 4 versus getting screened. And so one of the things that Colorectal Cancer Alliance is, they've put together a personalized screening tool, both in Spanish and in English, that is customized to ask you a few questions and recommend screening based on what your answers are, like family history, like, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into play, but quiz.getscreened.org is where you find that personalized screening test in both languages.
So quiz.screen. One more time, sorry.
No worries. Quiz.getscreened.org.
So what is what's the testing method now? If we're going to start thinking about it when we hit 45, what's the current testing method for colorectal cancer?
So the gold standard, obviously, is the colonoscopy. The colonoscopy will be the one that will catch, you know, every single thing that's going on inside. You know, and the best test is the one that you actually take, right? So if you don't want to go through the colonoscopy, or, you know, there are barriers to getting a colonoscopy, obviously, Colorectal Cancer Alliance has a lot of different, you know, assistance, but you can do at-home stool tests as well. And, you know, some of the tests are like the Cologuard is checking for a lot of different markers on top of just checking for blood in the stool. There's so the FIT test. The FIT test only tests for blood in the stool. So again, you know, but if there is a polyp and it's in early stages, the at-home stool tests will not be able to detect that. And so that's why we highly recommend that, you know, at age 45 or before, if you are having any symptoms. And The problem is that a lot of the symptoms that you do have early on are symptoms that could be attributed to IBS or to, you know, food allergies. And so it's just a matter of listening to your body. If you're constantly having diarrhea, constipation, bloatedness, any stomach issues consistently, you should see your doctor and try and see if we can get screened, especially if there's history of colon cancer in the family.
Matt's got a question for you.
And the conversation started with you asking if there are things that we can point to that are causes of this. But I think one of the things that is the reluctance of people to get screened. And so
yes,
while that doesn't itself cause it, it takes something that's easily treatable if caught early and until a symptom arises. And I think that's maybe a part of what the Awareness Month is about, right, Jasmine?
Yes, absolutely. I have been volunteering with the Colorectal Cancer Alliance for over 9 years because I was personally affected. My mother passed away at 42 of colon cancer, and it was devastating to the family. We didn't have any information. There wasn't any effort to do any type of screening. And she didn't go to the doctor until it was too late. And so I definitely want to, you know, kind of put the message out there that screening is key to preventing this disease. And so, you know, Colorectal Cancer Alliance is doing everything they can to get people screened and to get people in the doctor's office asking the right questions. We even have, you know, a questionnaire to ask your doctor when you go in on our website that gives you all the information and all the questions that you need to ask your doctor. So yes, screening, prevention, knowledge, and being your own advocate is, you know, first and foremost to, you know, kind of stopping this disease and catching it early so that you can survive it.
All right. So you want to go over to quiz.getscreened.org is a great place to start. And then what's your guys' website for what you guys are doing?
It is colorectalcancer.org.
Well, thanks for being on the show and thanks for getting the word out and hopefully waking up a few extra people today on the dangers of not paying attention to such things.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And please, you know, Colorectal Cancer Alliance has a lot of resources, a lot of information, and we're definitely here for you. So please let us know how we can help.
Awesome. All right. Well, Jasmine, keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good day, everyone.
You too. Jasmine Mejia from the Colorectal Cancer Awareness Alliance. So, all right, we come back. I got a little follow-up on this, and then we got to get to the Lupita Murillo story about the druggies are taking over Udall Park. And I'm sure the dude's got it all handled. Hopefully none of those guys have like an old Avis t-shirt on or anything like that. Then he'll get really, that's what you got to do. Little League parents who are a little disturbed, get Avis shirts and give it to all the homeless dudes. And then Cunningham will just be en fuego. Hey, bro! Can't believe we lost the big feller last year or earlier this year. This is Marianne, our buddy Marianne Powell's playlist today. She's so cute. She sends me this email. She says, Chris, it's okay to, it's okay to go ahead and tell the Wakeys that the husband and me will be locating, to Oral Valley, getting out of Pliskin Acres in Tucson our whole lives. Just need a new change of pace. Let me tell you. We have a friend of ours here at the station who lives on the east side of Tucson who has literally admitted to me that due hanging out and listening to Wake Up Tucson, him and his wife are moving to Marana. New house next month. You're welcome, Mayor Ed. So talking to Jasmine about colorectal cancer, she talked about colonoscopies. And this is why the Cologuard thing and doing that stool sample, I think, is so much more important, right? So, let's see. One of my doctor guys sent me this, and this is What a great name. Angus Chen is the reporter here, the person who wrote this. In gold standard trial, invitation to colonoscopy reduce cancer incidence but not death. All right, so they're saying that people are still dying at the same rates of colon cancer as they did, as we've been doing colonoscopies for the last 30 years. And then they're also talking about how you could be inviting trouble by sticking a tube up your blank and causing damage that way. That's why more doctors are going to the stool sample like the Cologuard. The primary analysis find that the colonoscopy only cut colon cancer risk roughly a fifth, far below the estimates of the efficacy, but didn't provide any reduction in colon cancer mortality. So it's like my guy, Dr. Fung, who I love so much. He's the guy who's the obesity code guy. And he says, look, I go to this conference of doctors, diabetes doctors. It's the greatest collection of diabetes doctors on the planet sitting in the same room together. And every year we have, here's the latest and greatest drug that's going to help with diabetes. And then they have, oh, here's the stats with a 10-year running, kind of running trend. And all it does is the number gets worse. Because he'll tell you it's not about the drugs, it's about your diet, right? And how much sugar you're pounding into yourself every day. So it's nice. People are making zillions of dollars off of things, especially in the drug world, right? But that's my thing on the colonoscopy right now. Yeah, it's needed at certain times, but I think the stool, you get more doctors, I think, are leaning on the stool sample now than ever doing sticking the tube in the blank.
And I think the take home point for me is get your physicals.
Yeah.
Get your screenings. Whichever one is best for you is best for you. What Jasmine said was the best screening is the one that gets done.
Yeah. No, that's the money line here.
And certainly Cologuard or any other available thing can at least alert, raise the flag that we need to look more. We need to look into this more.
Yep.
So I think that's the best thing to keep in mind, that this the best screening is the one you get. And,
so the nightmare scenario in all of this is after the way the COVID medical establishment, COVID blew up the medical establishment, right? And how many doctors don't practice medicine anymore? Right? And how many people can barely see their doctor when something really bad happens, right? So the amount of screenings not going to get done in the next 8 years will have devastating health effects on America, your family, and all of that, because the government sucks and hospitals are greedy bastards. Just telling you. When we come back, I'm going to get those Avis t-shirts and put it on those drug guys on Udall, and Cunningham's going to move faster than you could ever think. I could just see him running around. You get out of here. We're going to do a little Lupita Murillo story from KVOA. The druggies are coming to Udall Park.
8:34 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. So many cool things coming up between the Paul Marsh event Saturday, live remote breakfast at Gap Ministry Tuesday. Remember, wakeup.gapmin.com to get your tickets. And then the following Saturday is the Oral Valley Parade. I think it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you may see two jackasses in the parade together.
Meaning, Joe's firing up the Cadillac?
Nope. Me and Smooch may be in a track ranch entry.
Dang.
So that should be good. Looking forward to hanging out with the Smoocher. So he's my spirit animal.
Smooch rocks.
Smooch rocks. Amen, brother. Amen. Let's get to Lupita Murillo.
Not Lupita, but the story.
KVOA. This is In Depth.
parents involved in an East Side Little League say they've had it. They're telling News 4 that their children are being exposed to drug paraphernalia at Udall Park. They've had serious concerns with the encampments that surround the recreation area. Think about that. The drug encampments are now surrounding Udall Park.
Well, it's a recreation area. I would.
Is that why they call them recreational drugs?
I wouldn't surround myself like an industrial park where you have to work.
Carmela Monaco described her encounter. There's a man in the bathroom, kind of uncomfortable because it's the girls' bathroom. Monaco was with her friend Sophia Luetta when they noticed someone in the women's bathroom who should not be there. It's uncomfortable in there when they're inside because you don't know what's going to happen next. Well, I kind of ran out in terror because he was staring at me. That's one of the kids. So this is Rahina and Paul. This is Rahina Romero's Tucson. So and I find it so cute when they're like, "Oh, we're doing the budget de la gente," even though we don't do anything to help la gente.
Right? Or las muchachos y muchachas. Those are kids playing there.
Well, this is the thing, right? So the first Latina mayor's city. Young women participating in sports can't go to the city park bathroom without basically feeling uncomfortable / being spiritually assaulted by a drug user.
You got to grab your parents and take, you know, have a parent escort you.
This is where we're at. With the parent Elizabeth Wisner, with the homeless, I can't stand the word homeless. These people are druggies. Stop dragging the real homeless in with the druggies. We can't send the girls to the bathrooms by themselves. We're always looking out. They were finding their drugs in the batting cages on the field and in the bathroom. They're also stealing the sponsor's signs, because what happens is the companies pay $500 to $700 to have their name on them. That money goes to buy equipment for the boys and the girls. Brad Balaz is Sabino Canyon Little League president. He says one of the problems is the sponsorship money sometimes goes to, check this out, scholarships for kids who can't pay the fees. So if you're a low income, we are going to have the people from FC Sonora on. They're going to come on talking about how Rahina Romero raising the park fees are going to basically bankrupt their league that serves underserved Latino women, mostly, and boys. So now, I like this. The president doesn't know who's taking the signs, but he has an idea. Me too. Parent Ashley Isabel. Unfortunately, with all the camps and homeless around here, it doesn't feel safe anymore. We've reported this to the police, to council, to the city, to Councilman Paul Cunningham. Bro, we've even called. Oh, thank God, they've called 311. 311. He says they hit everyone on the checklist and the problems still continue. I mean, this is Rahina's Tucson, man. A drug-infested crap hole where young ladies can't go to the bathroom when they're trying to play Little League baseball or softball without having to hang out with Harry the meth addict. You guys keep putting up with it. It's amazing. Let's go to Limber Lost Liz. We haven't talked to Liz in a while. It's good to hear back from Limber Lost Liz. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Please don't take this as being disheartened, but welcome to the jungle. I mean, seriously.
So you're saying this is a Pliskin Acres annexation? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And if they think that all of the crying and complaining and everything they're going to do is going to get something done, no, it won't. It's sad. And, you know, no, they're not doing anything about it. And so now it's moved and these people are up in arms. And I'm sorry about the people in the bathroom. That's awful to walk in and, yeah, there it is. But, you know, it's what it is. And maybe now that it's moving to the quote unquote unaffected people who are now getting affected, maybe something will get done. But I really don't think it will. They don't care. This is what they want.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take, right? I don't know. I mean, now remember, so think about it. All of these fools keep getting reelected, right? And they gave themselves huge raises, right? On a vote that was so close that it actually should trigger a reelection. But then they asked their buddy, who's the attorney general of Arizona, who's a hardcore liberal Democrat, to say, no, you're okay. You can ignore state law. So they keep getting reelected, right? They keep getting their butt kissed by the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson Sentinel, Tucson Weekly, Arizona Public Media, and half of the TV people. So this is where they're at. Life's good for them. They can run a total crap hole, keep getting reelected, and get a raise that triples their salary.
Well, and only in government. Want to raise our sales tax, but they're not doing anything to help the people. And it just blows my mind that these people keep getting reelected. But it's because the people that are voting them are not touched by this. And again, if it gets into the circle of righteousness, which hopefully it's slowly getting there, something's going to be done, but I don't believe it anymore. And, you know, they're just letting it get like
so
this. Seriously. I mean, in my area, it's terrible.
I'm going to do a little devil's advocate with you, my friend. I think if you saw the amount of people in Ward 3 that was voting blind Democrat, it would blow your mind. That's the scary part. They would rather live in hell and keep voting D than look for an alternative. That's the scary part. They're so
is scary.
They're so enslaved to the brand of D that they don't even give a crap. Right?
That's awful.
And so think about it. Awful. So here's the other thing. Between half of the media people I always complain about and the elected officials, they've convinced some of those people that everything was always Republicans in Maricopa County's fault on why Tucson sucks. Right? I mean, they have a $2 billion budget, Liz, and they can't hire cops. They can't clean up parks. They can't grow grass. It's $2 billion. That's a hell of a number.
So. Yes, it is. And this town looks like crap. There's trash everywhere. There's homeless camps. And the sad thing is when the homeless camps move in, they cut down the trees. And, you know, now it looks even crappier. And they don't clean any of this up. There's grass in the medians. There's trash everywhere. The washes look like crap. It just, you come in and you're like, this is awful, you know, and the bus, you know, the bus stations like over here near the Tucson Mall, that's scary. That place over there is frightening. And the loop is getting even more frightening. I just don't know because the council people don't see it or they don't choose to see it.
Oh, they see it.
But, you know, put Regina on the bus. Put her on the free bus and not the friendly bus. She needs to ride the hardcore bus.
So I think, Liz, I want to wrap this up in an official way on this very good call at 8:44 in the morning. So what we're saying is, This is like the Louisiana Purchase, right? This is the annexation of that area into Pliskin Acres. That's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
So
I agree.
The new boundaries of the acres, Liz and I are declaring it right now. It's River Road down to Speedway, right? Bumps up right on the circle of self-righteousness. We used to say Craycroft. Now we're going to go what? Pia Decimo?
Right?
We're going to go Pantano? P.O. Or at least Pantano now as the eastern marker of Pliskin Acres.
which then, of course, overlaps with Pablo Slovakia. So, I love Pablo Slovakia, which is that's a Matt Neely Pablo Slovakia. That's amazing. So, anyway, officially today, in the year of our Lord 2024.
So, when they teach Plissken Acres history, this is one of the things the kids are going to get drilled on.
So, John Holden, our public works director, who now lives in Tennessee, because you know he's working remote. I need you to work on fumigating the bathrooms at Udall Park if you can, please. So, all right, Liz, thank you for the official action today as one of the regents of Plissken Acres. We have now expanded the border to Pantano Road. That's a big chunk. Woof!
And so. I say to them, bienvenidos, Plissken Acres.
Wow.
There it is. All right, Liz. Great call. Have a great day. Stay safe out there.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I kind of feel like it's our new thing, you know, at the end of Hill Street Blues when they'd have their little debrief at the beginning and say, hey, be safe out there. That's Tucson's, dude. That's all we don't say anything else except be safe out there.
Well, these banners that they're stealing from the field, they're using them as cover. Well, now the Little League has to use money that they would have used for the kids, right, to replace the banners, because that's money.
Right. So they're saying it's digging into equipment and uniforms and also in scholarships for low-income kids.
And doggone, I heard one more time yesterday, Kevin Dahl was on the radio, and he's talking about, like a lot of the homeless camps are just kindly people just going about their... He's like trying to make this distinction. Oh, many of these homeless camps, right, are just folks living their best life. Yeah, there's some that there's bad activity happening at. Well, I would argue that 99.999% of them, bad activity is going at. And to rationalize this by an elected city official is nonsense. It's absolute hogwash. And to hear him go on like this, you know, again, to rationalization, Laura Conover, she goes on, you know, radio or in print interviews saying, I don't support... initiatives against organized retail theft because people are stealing things that they need. Just this constant rationalization of things that aren't right, right?
Amen.
Of things that are just bad. And to hear elected officials just constantly rationalize this nonsense.
How do you say sick puppies?
Sick puppies.
Thank you.
Peros.
Enfermos. All right, 8:48 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. And Kevin Dahl is just a weak-willed, useful idiot for the mayor, is what he is. So, or for C.J. Boyd, who works for him. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. 8:54 in the morning. Holy cow.
Had to dust off the 45.
We got our good friend Grant Kruger here. Grant, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
He's going to be on in just 10 minutes or so on Jump in Tucson. You got Taylor Carter from Fire Truck coming on with you.
Yeah, can't wait for that. It's going to be a great show. I love being in between you and Dennis Prager. Like,
oh,
what a sandwich,
Lord.
Right there.
Let me say, as Dennis says in the commercial, as you can tell, I am very excited.
It is palpable, tangible, his excitement, Mr. Prager, for local Tucson news.
Now, I knew I was going to ask you about Tamale Bill, but I just noticed while we were on break, I have 3 phone calls, so we're going to take phone calls.
Sounds like fun. Let's do it.
Who was first? Who do you got?
Brushfire was first.
All right. Brushfire, Doug Martin, and Bill number one all in 4 minutes. So, Brushfire, you have 46 seconds. Good morning.
I'll be as quick as I can as the musical director pro tem. Of Plissken, move it to Houghton and Speedway, and Houghton and Escalante go right across. Just be done. Don't leave me out.
You want to be in the Acres. I know everyone does.
I can't stand it. I feel left out. You guys are like, oh, it's coming to the east side. Well, go to Houghton and Golf Links to the Walmart. They're right there. It's here.
A lot of business leaders have been pro annexation over here, so I feel like this is certainly something we could discuss.
All right.
We are right behind it. Don't bring me down, as ELO would say. Don't leave me out of place.
All right, Sean.
Have a wonderful day. Be safe out there.
You too. Sean and I are going to, Grant and I are going to start a study committee on this.
Blue ribbon.
To annex them into the Acres. Let's go to Bill number one. Bill, what's shaking, buddy?
Hi, good morning. Just thought on the whole annexation and Tliscanathis thing. You know, the city of Tucson keeps talking about being a charter city and that gets to make up the rules as it goes along. I'm all for charter cities like Tliscan Acres to do what they damn well please. We can just annex, all of the metro Tucson area, because whether the folks that live outside the city of Tucson like it or not, Tliscan is coming to you sooner than you realize.
I agree. All right, Bill, thanks for the call, man. 790. Why am I going to the phone number? I'm just going to have more people call. We don't have time for that. Let's go to Doug Martin on line four. Doug, you're on with Chris and Grant. What's up?
Morning, Chris and Grant. Something that shouldn't be lost in the whole homeless thing,
yes,
is that there's a lot of money in this whole thing that would be lost if the problem is solved. We're talking about government money and agencies. I met with a lady yesterday who's involved with that, and she said there's $50 million in federal funds here for that. There's a warehouse full of stuff to supply homeless people with. If that's solved, it's like curing cancer. Once that happens, the American Cancer Society goes away.
Without a doubt, there's a lot of Catholic charities out there that would be mighty upset if we didn't get this fixed.
So the guy that hit me as the best in this is the guy who runs Old Pueblo something. It's one of these organizations that's supposedly taking care of
community services.
Yeah, Old Pueblo Community Services. That guy comes out and trashes Lisa Chastain and Gospel Rescue in an op-ed. And then a month later, he gets a chunk of money from Pima County to do whatever they're doing. So,
a big grant.
You are.
That's true.
Not this grant, another grant.
Bigger than this grant, for sure. There are much larger grants out there, I assure you. It's cold outside.
So,
well, thanks, guys, and
thanks.
Appreciate
it. All right, let's sneak Charles Heller on real quick. Charles, you got 28 seconds.
Just because you're not interested in Tliscan Acres doesn't mean Tliscan Acres is not interested in you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you should. Then that song of the Lights of Tucson, where he talks, "My wheels are rolling like Bronson." You should look up that music, the Michael Parks theme for "Then Came Bronson." It would be a great bumper music, rolling down that long, lonesome highway. It's a wonderful tune.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Charles Bronson and Death Wish, filmed in Tucson.
No. He's not talking about Charles Bronson. He's talking about
I'm talking
Bronson,
about Charles
the 1970
Bronson.
Show about the guy on the motorcycle traveling all over the country, played by Michael Parks,
right,
and who also sang the song.
Thank you, amigo.
You're welcome. Bye.
Craig Krueger, have an amazing show.
Thank you so much, sir. Look forward to hosting you guys in Jump in Tucson after the break.
Yep, with Taylor Carter from Fire Truck Brewery. Tomorrow we have Juan Siskamani, David Schweikert, and Margo Sisko, our friend, talking about our event for veteran Paul Marsh, Saturday in Marana. So, Wakeys, have a great day. Grant Krueger's going to kill it. He's going to kill it in the next hour. So, wake up.